All right, that was great. Thank you for all the music today. I want to make sure I get all the names right. We had a great week with biological growth. Let's see who we had. I want to make sure I got the names here. 3 babies born in the last week. Okay, by the way, that means that we need to replenish that list, okay, on the prayer list. So some of you that are married need to get with it here. Thanks for that. Seth and Sue had a baby boy, Gabriel's son. Okay, he's here. Let's give him a hand. Chris and Evelyn McDermott, Heather McDermott, let's give them a hand. And then Brother Vinny and Jasmine had their baby. We were in the car. I asked my wife, what's his name? And she goes, Ellie. I'm like, Ellie? She goes, yeah, E-L-I. I'm like, Eli. Okay, so it's Eli, right? Sorry, hon, I didn't mean to tell everybody. Eli Keel, let's give them a hand as well. Great. All right. Tremendous. So the rest of y'all need to get busy. We need more children in the church. There's a lot of talk about, people talk about legacy, wanting to be remembered for things, right? You know, they build statues for people. They build buildings after them and so forth. And people get to the point in their life where it's like, I just want to be, if I'm going to be remembered, I want to be remembered for something good. Now, everyone will be remembered by someone. And the point is, what are we going to be remembered for? Are you going to be remembered for something that had some type of significance? It made a difference in some way. Let's think about Bible characters for a minute, okay? When we think about Job, we think about patience, okay? You can help me. We think about Thomas, we think about doubting. What do we think of when we think of Stephen? He was the first martyr. We think of Judas. There's one word the Bible uses when it speaks of Judas. What is it? Traitor. By the way, no one names their kid Judas. I sure hope they don't, right? It's like naming your son Ellie. Elijah. When we think of Elijah, it may not be one word, but we think of someone who had a strong faith and was willing to stand up against those that were evil. We think about Demas. Here's someone that forsook Paul and left the faith. Here's one you may not think of, but God sure did. Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the first king after God split the kingdom. He took the northern tribe. And God told him, like he told David's family, if you live right and you do right, I will build your kingdom. And instead, what he did is he built a false god. He built an idol. And hundreds of years later, when God would mention an evil king, he would refer back to that and how much it still irritated him. So he was not remembered for something that is good. I hope that it is our goal in life to leave a legacy, a testimony of a life of faith, and a testimony that our family can follow, because it can make a difference. When the Chinese were taken over by communism, one of the things they wanted to do is they wanted to kind of whitewash their history of Christianity. And so they wanted to discredit those that had did any type of good missions work. And so they commissioned a man to write a biography of Hudson Taylor. What they want them to do, what he wanted them him to do is corrupt it and make him sound bad, because basically communism always leads to atheism, by the way. By the way, we have these, I was going to say idiots, and I don't want to say that, on our college campuses that think communism is a good thing. You might want to talk to people who escaped communism and got to America, what they think about it. They lived it. But communism will always lead to atheism and a lot of other bad things. So this man started doing research to write this biography, and as he did his research to write the biography, he was struck by the godliness of Hudson Taylor, and he was struck by his life, and he got to the point after all of his study to where he's even put himself in harm's way to say, I'm not going to write this book. And in fact, eventually he converted to Christianity, because somebody had a strong Christian heritage, and they left a legacy. Now, we're going to see a lady in the story we're going to look at this evening, who left a legacy, something Jesus told us that we should talk about. Mark chapter 14, if you read through the chapter, there's a lot going on. In chapter 15, Jesus will eventually be crucified, and the stage is being set for that. And so it's the week before the Passover, and there's a lot going on that is preparing for this event, in the great event in the history of mankind, the death of Jesus Christ. There's a plot to have Jesus killed, and then Judas sets out to make a deal to sell Jesus out and betray him. Jesus then has the Last Supper with his disciples. He informs them that they are going to deny him, and especially Peter. And then he goes to Gethsemane and prays with his guys, and then he is arrested, and his trial begins. And then you see that Peter denies Jesus just like Jesus said he would. But in here, towards the beginning of the chapter, is this story of one who anoints him. And it was an anointing really that was pointing to his death and his burial and would lead to his resurrection. Who this lady is, another gospel tells us that it was Mary, Lazarus' sister. And she pours this very costly ointment on Jesus Christ. Those in the crowd start to complain, and they're like, well, that was a waste of money. That was a waste of effort. And I believe that Judas was behind that, because then he steps out to go and sell Jesus out. But Jesus defends her actions, and then says something very, very important in verse number 9. So if you look at verse number 9, "Verily I say unto you," as Jesus is defending her and her actions, "wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Jesus is basically saying that this story, this act, what she did, will be spoken of forever. This is going to be a testimony, a legacy in what she did. Wherever the gospel goes, wherever the Bible is being preached, it's going to be there as a testimony and a memorial of her. You say, is that true? Well, we're still talking about it today. Amen. So it must have been a fairly significant act. It must have had a very deep meaning for Jesus to say, this story is something that will be perpetuated as long as the gospel, as long as the Bible is preached. That should get our attention. Now, I don't know that if you and I will ever do anything that will be remembered forever in a big group, but I do know this. We will do things that Jesus can remember for a long time, forever. We can do things that individuals, because of the influence we can have in their life, something that they will remember forever. So what was so great about this act that caused Jesus to say, this will be remembered? Let me share a few thoughts about that in the brief time that we have. I want you to see, first of all, that it was an act of dedication. It was an act of dedication. Look at verse 3. "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came this woman having an alabaster box full of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head." She comes right into that group, goes right to the middle, right where Jesus is. She takes this box. It was very, very expensive. The ointment in there was probably about a year's wage. And she poured it on the Savior. It was an act that, for her to do something that sacrificial, that costly, showed that she had complete dedication to Jesus Christ. If we want to do something that would be remembered, something that is of great significance, we must be dedicated to Jesus Christ. Now, I reject this notion that people are afraid to be dedicated and be committed to things. I don't believe that at all. In our society, in fact, we live in a very bizarre time where people are okay with dedication, but it has to be dedicated to only certain things, yeah. Right? Yeah. And you know, it's okay to be dedicated to anything which is immoral. Yeah. But if you're a person that's dedicated to something that is moral, they look at you like there's something wrong with you. You're out of step with today's society. You know, you get up and say something like there's only two genders, they think you're weird. You get up and say that you believe in traditional marriage, you're being divisive. But they're going to celebrate it. If you try to be a modest individual, in fact, the matter is, even in Christian circles, you're going to be put down and you're going to be mocked. So it's not that people are against being dedicated. They're just against being dedicated to the right kind of things. Yeah. But you're never going to please God. You're never going to make a difference unless you are dedicated. Yep. Society would say it's okay to be dedicated to what you believe. Unless you believe in the right things. And by the way, as Christians, we ought to believe in the right things. It's not just enough to come and plop ourselves down and sit in church. We need to be dedicated to the things of God and the things that are right. I can't tell what kind of Christian you are and how dedicated you are just because you're sitting in church on Sunday, although to come to church on a Sunday night, you have probably a little greater level of dedication, but real dedication is seen in what you're going to do tomorrow. What you're going to do Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and all the way out throughout the week. Even politically, right? This is America. You can believe whatever you want. You can vote for whatever you want. Unless you don't vote for a certain side. What is wrong with us? See, God wants us to be dedicated to the right things regardless of what anybody says. For this lady to step forward and go in that group, she was putting herself out there, but there's one thing they could not question, her dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you tonight, let's be 100% dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to be dedicated, we have to understand a few things. First of all, it's got to be very sincere, very sincere. How can you tell her faith wasn't sincere? By what she was willing to give. That was very costly. That was not something that was very, very light. That was something that was very, very heavy. And she was willing to give it because she sincerely loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Our dedication to the Lord should be very sincere. And if it's going to be sincere, then it's got to be driven out of our love for him and nothing else. Nothing else. Children that grow up in church, they're going to have to come to some time in their life where their relationship with the Lord isn't tied into the fact that their parents made them come to church, right? You hear about the kid that grew up, he goes, you know, I grew up on drugs. My parents drug me to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Thursday night. But if that relationship's going to last, there has to come a time where it's like, it's not because my parents made me come to church. It's not because I'm in the Christian school and there are certain things I have to do. I'm going to do it simply because I love Jesus Christ. And I have to love him more than anything else. Sometimes we're very self-serving. We like Christianity because of what we get out of it. And by the way, you do get a lot out of it. But that's not why we should serve Jesus Christ. What if you got nothing out of it? Would you still serve him? So it's got to be sincere. If we're going to be dedicated, it's got to be sacrificial. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. There was something that she had that was of great value, and she had to be willing to sacrifice it. You know, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not saying this to belittle us because we're blessed to live in a country where we still have freedoms. But for us, we don't have to sacrifice where some people have to lay their lives on the line, their futures on the line. But the fact of the matter is there are some things we need to sacrifice. Are we willing to give of our time? Are we willing to give? And we get to the point where we have this selfish type of Christianity. You know, they preach the prosperity doctrine. The prosperity doctrine is only going to be popular in America. It's not going to be popular anywhere else. That's a covetous type of Christianity. And that's why it has so many followers. So I have people will give some swindler millions and millions of dollars so he can have a brand new personal jet because in doing so, they think God is obligated to give them money. That's a selfish Christianity. We don't... gauge our Christianity on what Christ gives to us. We gauge it on what are we willing to sacrifice for him? What are we willing to give up to him? And he doesn't ask for a lot, but he does ask us to give our lives. Dedication can only be attained through sacrifice. And I hope that we sacrifice where we want to serve others for the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope we sacrifice where if there's a need, we're willing to give financially to meet that need. And we're willing to sacrifice our lives in some cases to get the spread, to spread the gospel around this world. But you know, it was also a dedicated, her dedication was shown in the fact that it spoke. What I mean by that is she goes right into the house and the crowd sees it, and she was not ashamed for people to see that she was dedicated to the Lord. There's no such thing as hidden Christianity. If you can fly under the radar in your beliefs, then you really don't have beliefs. If you can, if your Christianity is not something that, look, if someone is around you for 10 minutes, would they know whether you tell them or not that there's something about you that's different? Would they be able to start catching in or tuning into the fact that, hey, I might be speaking to a Christian here? Well, Pastor, you know, no one knows. I'm doing a really good job of hiding it. Maybe you're not dedicated. I want people to know I'm a Christian. If we are a pastor, you have to. Okay, well, yeah. But before I was a pastor, I wanted people. When I got saved, I couldn't help. I wanted everyone to know I was a Christian. Now, I'm not a bumper sticker guy. Now, if you are, there's nothing wrong. I don't like, you know, bumper stickers. But when I got right with God, I had a motorcycle. I just started putting all these little Jesus stickers on there. You know, I don't even know if they were right. I had no discernment, but I just wanted people, if they saw me, to know that this guy, he must love Jesus. Now I see people with bumper stickers. I'm like, maybe you love Jesus, but your driving says you're probably more aligned with the other guy. Okay? But are we trying to hide it? Dedication should be seen. And so she was very dedicated. But I want you to notice what happened and why a lot of people don't want a dedication that's very visible. Because it was also an act of despising. Look at verse 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. You know what that means? They were ticked off about this. Why? They said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been given, sold for more than 300 pence. How did they know? And have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. So it starts inwardly. Then they have a little debate among themselves. And then they start criticizing her vocally. They had a real problem. What was meant? What she had just done? See, the problem is, we don't like when people say things to us about our beliefs. We don't like when people say things to us about what we're doing. We are way too sensitive. You shouldn't need a spiritual safe place, right? I don't understand that. Someone disagrees with what we believe or what we say, and that's all right. Why does that bother us? We're afraid of that. And by the way, society and our society is using that to shut us up. I don't want to use their words, marginalize us. Because we don't want anybody to say anything. So we temper our actions based on what other people will say. I don't think that ought to be how it is. Come on. Many years ago, I think Pastor Esposito told me about it, and I got a book. It was called, don't let the title throw you off, it was called No More Christian Nice Guy. And the whole premise of the book wasn't be mean to people. The whole premise of the book is they're shutting us up by telling us if we believe anything, we're mean. And so we want to go so overboard to be nice that we don't say anything. I just believe it's unloving and unkind to do the opposite. I believe it's on. Look, I will. Any pastor, if you get up, you're going to be held accountable for what you say. And some people, all they want to do is come into church services and throw flowers to everybody. I don't like flowers. These aren't flowers, I hope, okay? They're dead. And look, everything is nice, and they won't say anything about the climate of our society. They won't say anything about society's just downhill obsession to kill babies. And so Christians walk away and they don't know what's going on. I think we ought to just, that's unkind. It's unkind not to tell the truth. By the way, what our society has done, this whole sex change deal, is they're hurting children and they're feeding into their delusions. No 5-year-old can decide that they're a boy or a girl. And so what we do is we start ripping their bodies apart. That is evil. And let me say this. Do you really want to make God mad? I can help you with that. Mistreat children. It's better than a millstone we're throwing around your neck. Tossed into the water. Okay, why? Just because we're afraid to stand up for what is right? I've heard Christians try to justify and use the Bible to say it's okay to abort a baby. That it's okay to be transgender. What? There are evil people that'll tell you, Jesus, what? Like, what are you? What is going on here? You know why? Because we don't have enough churches. Will someone stand up and say, that's a bunch of garbage? Yep. Amen. We need to stand up and just say, look, the Bible is the Bible. Yep. Well, you know, judge not. And you're right, I won't give you my philosophy, but I'll tell you what God's word says. What did Jesus say? What judges people? The words. So we can't get up and say God said this, but just because you're for it? That's not judging, brethren. That's scripture. And we need to let people know. I don't know how we got off on that, but I'm feeling better. But people will always be critical, and they're trying to shut you. They could care less about the poor. Fact of the matter is, Judas was behind this whole thing. And we all know what Judas was doing with the money in the bag, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was siphoning it off for his own needs. So she's being criticized here. But I want you to notice it was a baseless attack. Verse 4, why was this waste of ointment made? By the way, it wasn't theirs to give.
Right.
It's funny. People that will do nothing will criticize people that are doing something. Why would you do that? Well, I don't know. What are you doing? Nothing. I don't want to do that, so just leave me alone. That's how it is. They saw that, and it wasn't theirs to give. It had nothing to do with them. It was none of their business. But, you know, they had to run their mouth. Was it really a waste to give to Christ? No. Was it really a waste to sacrifice for him? No. Is it really a waste to be dedicated to him? No. The problem is, they didn't like where it went.
Come on.
They had better plans for it. You must understand that people who are critical of Christianity, or you specifically, or Christians, they do so for a reason. Why? You go, don't follow these knuckleheads.
Come on.
Seriously. You listen to what they're saying, but you don't know who they are, and they don't tell you what they do. They'll criticize everything you did. Why did your church have Roundup Sunday? I mean, you had a horse in here. Well, the reason I allowed the horse in here is because he promised me it was potty trained, okay? There's nothing wrong with using those to preach. There's nothing wrong with having a message, or nothing wrong with having a special day and have some bus kids come to church. Well, I just don't think you should do that to get people to church. Well, what do you do to get people to church? Nothing. I like my method better. Right? Remember, a lady went up to Dale Moody and said, I don't like the way you witness to people. He goes, well, yeah, my way's maybe not the best. What's your way? She goes, oh, I don't do it. He goes, oh, okay, I like my way better. Just stop. Quit listening to them. Well, your church is this and your church is that. What church you go to? See, you don't know the whole story. And so, you know, here's the deal. I don't listen to that stuff. I don't. Unfortunately, people tell me, oh, someone said, I don't care. Really, I am just, maybe now that I'm in my, I'm 60, maybe a year or two past there, I just don't care anymore. Because I'm not going to answer to them for what I do. I answer to God. And if they don't like it, that's their prerogative. And if they want to criticize me, I don't care. You know, and I don't do social media. I do, I keep wanting to call it Twitter. X, okay? And someone got into a DM, and they DM me, and they didn't like something I said in church, and they sent me the clip, and like, I'm going to get this on the internet. I'm like, first of all, you took it out of context. Second of all, I just blocked the guy. Well, I don't care. We're so concerned about people's criticisms. And you young people, you get all in. Well, you know, I was hurt by church. What? Did they electrocute you on the way in? Well, you know, those beliefs just hurt me. Then don't believe them. No one's hurting anybody. No one's forcing anybody. It's just people trying to justify what they're doing. See, here's the problem. The problem is when the outside tries to criticize you to stop you, it actually doesn't work. It actually strengthens you.
Yep.
It does, because it's like, I expect people that don't know Jesus to not understand it. Right. I don't hate them for that, to be honest with you. I don't. They don't know the Lord. They can say mean things, and I'm okay. They just don't understand. I said dumb things when I wasn't a Christian. But you know where the damage comes from? When people on the inside. Yeah. You know, Nehemiah, when he went to build the wall, those knuckleheads that tried to stop him, that didn't stop him. He said, look, we'll have a weapon in one hand and we'll have a trowel in the other hand. We'll build the wall in one hand, and if they need to be shot at, we'll take care of, or you know, not shot at. Well, if we need to fight, we'll use the weapon.
Yep.
You know what caused the problem? People on the inside. The Jews taking advantage of one another. The Jews trying to, you know, use things for their own profit. It was a baseless attack. And basically it was an excused attack, right? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. Look, that was a symbolic gesture of Jesus' coming death. And second of all, if she would have sold it, that would have never made it to the poor.
No.
Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. It's funny how all of a sudden, I guarantee you, not one of these people ever did something for the poor.
Come on.
But all of a sudden, they're going to criticize?
Yeah.
It's just a story. And people will give you stories, by the way. Don't listen. By the way, don't make excuses, right? People who are good at making excuses are usually only good at one thing. Making excuses. And then here's the part we have to be very careful with, okay? It was a personal attack. Look at the end of verse 5. And they murmured against her. Now they're taking personal shots at her, right? I mean, to disagree with what's going on is one thing. But now they're murmuring about her. And I have found that, unfortunately, people can be very mean-spirited. They can. And look, here's the thing. You can't let it make you bitter. You can't let it make you cynical. You can't let it stop you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. When someone's very critical of me, now, I can't remember the last time that ever happened. You're not laughing. You didn't catch up, but that's okay. You know, if someone says something about me, I'll look at it. Is there truth to it? Is there some truth? There is, then maybe there's something I have to do. But if there's not truth, they just don't like what we're doing, I'm just like, done with that. That's fine. It's not going to stop me. You know? Well, someone may, you know, someone's going to get mad and leave the church, and they're going to call you names on the way out. Look, we have a lot of new people here. I'll just go with them. I wish the others well. I do. But I'm not going to let that stop me. And so we have to be very careful. When people are personal, maybe they're hurt. Maybe they don't understand the importance of spiritual things. But you stopping what you're doing because they're critical of you isn't good for you. And it's not good for them. And so don't let that stop you. And then we see that it was an act of declaration. What did Jesus say about it? Look at verse 6. Jesus steps up and says this, "Let her alone." Okay. I like to say that sometimes. "Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me." Says, hey, he's saying, be quiet. Quit bothering her. She did something that was good. Verse 7, he goes to their excuse, because they could care less about the poor. "For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good, but me you not have always." I mean, literally, she was doing it for Jesus Christ. She didn't go and pour the ointment down the drain. And he says, "The poor you have with you always." He's like, you can help people anytime you want. You know why he said that? Because I guarantee you they weren't. And then he says, "She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." In other words, what she did had a purpose and it had a significance. They didn't understand it. But Jesus did. They didn't understand chapter 15. In fact, his guys didn't even understand it. But he understood it. And he knew what was going on. And by the way, it's just none of their business. So Jesus spoke up. Let me just say a couple things and we're almost done. It was good. Just get to the point where, and take this the way I mean it, I'm not, that you don't care what other people say. I'm concerned what God thinks. If God says it's good, I'm in.
Yep. Amen.
I'm in. You may come and you might have family members. Why do you go to church so much? I mean, it's not Easter, it's not Christmas, right? Easter and Christmas. You know, it's not, isn't Sunday morning enough? They don't know any better. But just wonder, is this what God wants? Then it's good. You actually give money to that church? You give money for missionaries that go around the world? You gave money to get a building. You gave money to buy a bus. That's coming in December. You gave money for whatever it is. What a waste. God says it's good. I'll just go with God. And I don't need to fight with them. I don't see that she said anything to them, because I know that what God thinks about it. You live like that? You do that, or you don't do this? What is wrong with you? I'm okay as long as God says it's good. And then he also mentions this. It was, in a sense, a work. She hath wrought a good work on me. That gift represented what she had to do to get it. Right? You think about that. Go out to McDonald's or something. I shouldn't say it at church. I'm sorry. You know, it's like it's $30. It's like that's over an hour's worth of work. Well, if you start thinking of stuff like that, you won't buy anything. Okay? There's effort that goes into this. What we see is we see what we don't like. We don't see the work that's put into it. Jesus saw what she did to get that, and that's probably why it was good. That's what we ought to do. When we look around at our church, I hope we just don't see what's going on. I hope we understand what it takes to see what's going on. Right? Because there's two parts to it. It has to be God's favor or God's blessing, or else nothing's going to happen. But it also takes effort on our part, doesn't it? See, you come around, you see buses coming in that are full, and you see bus kids all around. And like, I'm all for the bus kids. That's great. I see the bus kids. But do you see the people who visit on Saturday? Do you see the people that get here early, make sure the buses are ready to go? You see those that drive and take their bus workers to make sure their bus workers parked at Blue Line? Throw that in there. And then took them to their bus route. You see the people that get on the bus and take them home in the afternoon when we're having lunch?
Yep.
You see the work behind it? I like the bus kids too. But I like the efforts that's being put in for our bus workers to see that happen. You see a choir or a special, you don't see the people up here. This may be why you don't join the choir. They come early on Sunday. If you're in the choir, you ought to do that. Come early on Sunday afternoon to practice. Or they sing it. You know, they sing a special. They don't just get up there and like, y'all pray for us. Hope this thing goes well. They've practiced. You don't see the work behind it. You see people in the Sunday school class. You don't see people that have prayed for them, that have invited them, a teacher that's prepared a lesson, people that bring food in the morning. You see people getting saved and coming to church and all the different things, but you don't see the people that went out and invited them. And in some cases, texted them several times. Sometimes they didn't come that first week. Someone will follow back up with them, and they'll come, and they'll raise their hand and get saved in a service and get baptized. You just see them coming down here and jumping in the water. Someone's got to work with them. You see all the people. I love the folks in our wheelchair folks. I'm glad they're all here.
Yes.
Now, you're a cheater, Kathy, and you got electric. You're good to go. Okay? You don't see all the workers that go on Saturday to the rest homes. You know, that whole thing started with our teenagers walking over here and rolling people from the rest homes. And Gary getting up early and taking the van and picking them up in the van. So you just see them here, like, isn't it a blessing to have those people here at our church?
Amen.
Well, who's going to help them get here? Don't you see the work behind it? You see everything. Look, everything that goes on in this church, and I can just go on and on and on. You see the results, but you have to see the work that's put behind it. See, Jesus saw the work that she put in to buy that so she could simply just give it to him. Why are we doing what we're doing? I hope that you want to be dedicated to the Lord and do something for him that'll last for a long time.
Amen.
But we have to quit thinking about what others think. Our whole life ought to be, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? Lord, is this what you want? Does this please you? And someone may go with you and do it, and someone may not. But some may like what you're doing, and others may criticize it. But it doesn't matter. What does the Lord think? I want something that leaves a legacy that I'm just going to follow Jesus.
Amen.
All those guys that murmured, we only remember one of them. Judas. And we remember him for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
He's a traitor. But we remember this lady. We remember Mary.
Yep.
Because she had the guts to stand up for the Lord, just do the right thing.
Amen.
Let's bow our head and close our eyes, if we may. I want to do something, and I want to leave something behind along with you that will last for a long time. I want to live my life and do things in such a way that although people may not understand, the Lord knows. I want to live my life and serve in such a way that God is pleased. Something that when I get to heaven, Pastor will talk about a better resurrection. Better resurrection. What about you tonight? By the way, if you're new and you've just been coming to church, there comes a point where you take that next step, which really adds blessing to being in church. It's called serving. It's called getting involved. It's called, this is my church, I'm in, I'm giving, I'm coming, I'm serving. That's what makes a difference. Let's stand this evening if we may. I don't know what God spoke to you about tonight, but if he spoke to you about anything, why don't you come and use this altar? Let's shut out all the negative noise and the negative influences and the critical individuals. Let them do their thing. Let them prepare for their way to stand before God, but let us prepare for when we will stand before God.